He that raised up Christ from the dead shall also quicken your mortal bodies by his Spirit that dwelleth in you. Lord, bless your word tonight. Show us the power of your Spirit that's already in us, that we can live a victorious life full of joy and fruitfulness in Jesus' name. And everyone said, amen. Now, a lot of commentaries say that this is talking about when we are resurrected. But there's also many commentaries believe that this is a twofold message. And I do believe it's talking about the resurrection. Our bodies will be quickened. But it's also talking about a quickening right now. Because I was talking to my wife earlier. I said, do you realize that he's saying the same Spirit that raised Christ from the dead, that powerful moment is in us. It's not like I have to wait for resurrection for that. It's in us. He's in us right now. And I know we know that. But Paul's trying to say there's a quickening that comes by the Spirit of God. When you're at work and there's someone there that doesn't know Christ, they're not filled with the Spirit, they don't have that quickening. Now, they might have a great personality and charm, and they might just be happy by nature, but they don't have a quickening. And Paul's trying to say, I want you to get this, Romans. This is so powerful that that same Spirit that came into that tomb is now in you. And I'm not just waiting for the resurrection for the quickening. I don't know about you, but I need the quickening now. How about you? Anybody out need that quickening now? Especially as you get older, you need something to quicken this body. And I believe that we have a life. The word quicken, by the way, it means to make alive. It means to impart life. The Spirit of God in us, that powerful Spirit, is always pumping life to us and through us. He's always trying to find ways to get life into us, and it's a powerful life. You know, if you and I just look back at the last 20 years, we see that there were some hard things we didn't know if we could get through. But the Spirit of God in us gave us that power, gave us the power to get up and come to the house of God, gave us the power to get up and not be discouraged. If that same Spirit that raised Christ from the dead dwell in you, the Greek word means to cohabitate. It means to dwell. It means to abide in a certain place. The Spirit of God cohabitates with our spirit. In other words, there's such an intimacy there that it releases life to us. Praise God. I want to give you a few things about this. The first thing, it's a finished deal. Ephesians 2:1, and you has he quickened who were dead in trespasses and sins. We already possess it. It is finished. I'm already quickened. Everybody say, I'm already quickened. Well, how about if I wake up, Pastor, and I don't feel quickened? It doesn't matter if I feel quickened. I'm already quickened. Positionally, I'm quickened, and I can ask the Spirit of God to quicken me to get up and push through this thing. How many just ever deal sometimes you get up and you don't really feel that good, you physically and emotionally? Anybody here? Am I the only one that deals just the regular things of life? But I know this, that once I get in the presence of God, and once I lift my hands to my Father, and once I refocus, it's almost like I start walking and the water is ankle deep, and I'm feeling it a little bit. And then as I press in and as I stay in his presence, it's like the water comes up. And all of a sudden, after a while, I realize I'm quickened. I can do this thing. Many times we have things before us in the natural we're not able to do. We're not able to do it. And you know what? I've heard T.D. Jakes say this. I've heard Jensen Franklin. I've heard other Joel Osteen. I've heard different ones say this, that God allows certain things in our life that we cannot do without him. There are certain things we can do. I like to get up and make breakfast. I'm fairly good at breakfast, aren't I, Pastor Dan? I mean, that's what I love, cooking breakfast. I love experimenting on my family. I love all these different ways to make eggs. I've come up with about 100 different ways, some of them not too good. But I love to do that. You know, God wants us to enjoy life. Have you ever had a time in your life you weren't enjoying life as a Christian? Of course. Joyce Meyer, she said, you know, I was traveling here and there, having hundreds of, or thousands of people coming and all that. She goes, but I didn't even enjoy my life. That's interesting. And that's why she came up with enjoying everyday life, because of her situation that had happened with her father, which was beyond my comprehension. So first of all, it's finished. I'm not striving with God to have his spirit. I'm not wondering if the Holy Spirit is dwelling. He's already there. It's a finished work. Turn to somebody and say, it's a finished work. I know you can't see him, but they'll appreciate your head turning. Second thing, we are quickened together with Christ. Colossians 2:13, and you, being dead in your sins and the uncircumcision of your flesh, has he quickened together with him, having forgiven you all trespasses. Isn't that amazing? That he has shared the resurrection power with us. That he didn't say, well, you know, I'm just going to give you a little bit of that resurrection power. No, he says, I've quickened you together with Christ. And I believe in this hour that you and I are going to need a quickening. You know, it used to be maybe, you know, 4 or 5 years ago, maybe I had to really have a quickening every other day or whatever. How many of you know every day we got to be quickened now? Every day we got to be quickened. It's like they're coming fast and furious. I can't take any time off from being quickened. And years ago, maybe about 30 years ago, I remember one time we went on vacation. All the kids were little. I remember when your kids were little. You know, can you remember that far back? It's kind of amazing. I go to the store sometimes and I see these young parents with these kids that my kids used to be that young, and they go, we actually did that? We actually had the energy for that? But anyway, I remember one time going on vacation for about 10 days, and I was just tired, you know, preaching. I just hadn't had a break, so I just, and you know, I took my Bible, but, you know, for about 6 or 7 days, I didn't even read my Bible. This was years ago, and I remember when I started getting back reading my Bible, I remember that I felt so dry. I felt like, you know, I didn't even take time like I should have to be quickened. And I learned a lesson there. When you go on vacation, don't take a vacation from God. Amen. Amen. I'm not saying anybody has. But, you know, some lessons you learn the hard way. Amen. Not that I didn't love Jesus. Not that I was backslidden. But I've come to love the quickening of the Lord. I've come to realize that without that, I'm going to be struggling more than I should. That my mind is going to be wandering more than it should. But when the quickening comes, call it the anointing, the touch of God, it's all because of the Spirit of God. It's all residues of resurrection power. I believe we all have the same inheritance of it, but how much I walk in the quickening really depends upon me. How much do I want God to quicken me? So the second thing is we're quickened together with him. The third thing, the Spirit of God uses the Word to quicken us. John 6:63, it is the Spirit that quickeneth. The flesh profits nothing. The words that I speak unto you, they are spirit and they are life. The Word of God keeps the Spirit quickening us. So important. So important, the Word of God, to read it, to hear it taught, hear it preached, because the Spirit and the Word are one. I don't totally understand it, but I know in my own personal life, when certain people preached over the years and taught, it's like they would say a sentence or preach and something quickened in me. I wasn't reaching out for it. I remember when we first got here with Bishop T.D. Jakes. He was just preaching on something, and all of a sudden he goes, "You bring the harvest in with joy." And that thing hit me, and he gave a scripture. See, that's a quickening. And God sometimes, not that all the word can't quicken you, but if God is trying to speak something to you personally, you can be listening to something, all of a sudden something hits you. What is that? It's the Spirit of God quickening something to you. I remember one time, I'm going to Bishop Jakes because I like to watch him in the morning, but he said this. He was just talking, and all of a sudden he goes, "If you're going to be leading, you're going to have to take the hits." And I go, "Wow." And then he gave a scripture about that. And see, God uses his word to quicken us. How on earth can I get by if I hear everything else and all the voices in the world? There are many voices in the world, none of them without signification, Paul said, but none of those voices can quicken me. I said, none of those voices can quicken me. The word quickens me. My wife and I, we quote scripture to each other. You know, we encourage each other with the word of God. Amen? We just talk about the flowers or whatever, or about her shopping, you know, it's not a quickening. Amen. Praise the Lord. So we stay with the word. Amen. Praise God. Love you, baby. Fourth thing. Everybody say fourth thing. Let's talk about the word a little bit more. Hebrews 4:12. "For the word of God is quick and powerful, sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit and of the joints and the marrow, discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart." The word quickens. Here's this word again, the same Greek word. The word for the word of God is quick. The same word that's used in John and the same word that we started at the beginning, the quickening, it's life-giving. The word of God imparts and quickens us. That's why it's so important to have our hearts right. If you go to the parable of the sower, there were four conditions of the heart. Only one of them had good soil that allowed the quickening to happen. That tells me I can actually come to the house of God and not get quickened, even though the Spirit of God is trying to quicken me, say if I'm harboring unforgiveness. Say if I've allowed tares to grow. Say if my heart has gotten stony. Then even though, you know, Moses himself could be up here preaching and I wouldn't be quickened. Because it's not the word that's not effective. It's my soil that's got to be tended. And how many know sometimes you find a few rocks in your soil? Am I the only one? How many sometimes you find a few weeds? I'm just wondering if I'm the only one. After all these years, Lord, after 40 years, there's still some weeds and stones? Help me, Jesus. But he doesn't give up on us, does he? He says it's quick, and the second thing, it's powerful. The resurrection is powerful. The resurrection was the most powerful thing in history. When I'm quickened, I get power. Everybody say, I get power. I get power to face things that I normally would run away from. I get power to believe things I would normally not believe. I get power to love when my reaction could be hate, or it could be disdain. So there's a power in the Spirit of God to equip us like Jesus. I get power to move in the gifts of the Spirit. I get power to sing under the anointing. I get power to share Christ with someone. It's the Spirit of God. And if we acknowledge that, then God gives us more power. People say, well, how do I get quickened more? Just keep acknowledging it ain't you, baby. It's God. Whatever it is, just keep saying, well, you know, thank you for saying that, but that was God. You know, as you do that, it expands the capacity for the Spirit of God to quicken you, and next time there'll be more of God. Because I do believe you can increase your capacity for God. He doesn't need to increase his capacity because he fills not only heaven and earth. David said the heavens can't contain you. I need to increase my capacity to be quickened. And when you and I are dealing with the devil, we can't deal with him if we're not quickened. Because he can go up one side of our head and down the other. Discouragement, depression, emotions out of kilter, sadness, gloominess. Man, I've got to have more than the armor. I've got to have the armor and the quickening. I can have the armor on and just feel like I'm going to fall over. I'm exhausted from fighting. So I need a quickening to come so I can hold that sword out more. Amen. And then it says it's sharper than any two-edged sword. Truth is sharp, isn't it? It pierces. Everybody say it pierces. It pierces. It gets down in there. Amen. And why is it getting down in there? It's getting down in there so that we can be more quickened. The Spirit of God can cause us to walk in a place we've never walked. God doesn't do a surface work on us. God doesn't do a shallow work in us. God does a deep work in us. Deep calleth unto deep at the noise of thy waterspout. In other words, the waves and billows that went through David to purify him to be king were so powerful, he acknowledged that it was God's Spirit. That's why when he sinned, he said these words, "Take not thy Holy Spirit from me," because he had seen Saul and the Spirit of God leave Saul, and it so shook him up because he knew without that quickening, Saul would kill him. He knew that he had a tendency to be depressed. "Why art thou cast down, O my soul? Why art thou disquieted in me?" He knew, and you and I know, that we still have areas and valleys that God's trying to fill up with a quickening. The things that happened 10 years ago, we don't want to walk in those anymore. The days of melancholy need to be over. It's a quickening. It's a powerful. It's a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. God's after our thoughts, and God's after our hearts. You can't always help all the thoughts you think, but you don't have to let all those thoughts be entangled into a bird nest on our head. Cast those down. The Holy Spirit wants to get into our thoughts and into our heart and quicken us and quicken us. Now, what is being quickened? I'm going to give you a few things. Number one, when I'm quickened, it quickens my connection to God. I was here this morning and working on the internet for about 45 minutes. I did everything. I restarted this, restarted that, restarted this. I was trying to see if something wrong with the internet, but there was something wrong. And finally, after resetting it two or three times, I went in and methodically plugged one, then the other, and it came on. But then I noticed about an hour later, it was still kind of sluggish. So I went to Kathy. Kathy, is yours okay? Yeah, it's okay. Something was wrong with the connection. And see, a quickening causes me to want to be connected to God more. If you'll notice, if you get sad or discouraged or depressed, you notice that you don't really feel like reaching out to God much. And that's because the soul, who was at one time away from God, has a tendency to go to lower places without the Spirit of God. That's why it doesn't matter how charming and great personality and intellectual someone is in their soul. That will only take you so far, because even people like that can end up alcoholics and whatever because they don't have a quickening. But can you imagine when my soul's restored and I'm quickened by the Spirit of God? Just think of the people I can touch with my own life. So the quickening is to keep me connected to God, and that connection can be broken. Doesn't mean God left me. It just means it's unstable, my connection. The quickening keeps it stable. Second thing, I'm quickened my health and my strength. The Holy Spirit, the same Spirit that raised Christ from the dead, he's not just waiting to resurrection day. He's inside giving me health and giving me strength. And you know what's powerful about this? Your coworker that doesn't know Christ, doesn't want Christ, I don't care if they eat vegetables. I don't care if they have the thing at home, the bicycle thing with the trainer. Listen, they don't have a quickening. You've got a quickening. You've got a quickening, and he's the Spirit of life. and he'll come when I align and I believe that God wants me well. That whole, the Spirit of God begins to push out the disease and the infirmity. You have that, someone else doesn't. I hope they get it. Third thing, quickened, my ability to fight disease. No one likes to get sick. No one wants to fight. No one wants disease. And sometimes it's easier just to give up than to fight. The Spirit of God says, you're not going to die, you're going to live. You're not going to die, you're going to live. You're not going to die, you're going to live. This thing is temporary. Don't give up. And when I get sick, go through things, surgery, I say, Lord, my times are in your hands. Nobody can take my life but you. If you want me to fulfill this thing, thank you that you're healing me right now. If not, then take me home and give me my mansion and I'll wave to everybody from heaven. Say, y'all, hope y'all doing good down there. But Lord, if you have something for me, then you said your Spirit would quicken my body. So I thank you right now. I'm not feeling it now, but I don't have to feel it because your Spirit will raise me up and get me through this infirmity and get me through this sickness. And I'm not going on the other side of this sickness worse than I was. I'm going out shouting because you promised me that I'd be quickened. You promised me if cancer comes in my body that the Holy Spirit's greater than cancer, greater than any infirmity. You promised me that. Unless, if not, then take me home because I'm not going to stay here and suffer. But I know that I'm not done. So I thank you, Holy Spirit, quicken this mortal body because that same Spirit that raised up the dead body of Christ is living and working right now. Give God a shout, somebody. Last thought here, Acts chapter 11, verse 19. I love this. And there came thither, interesting word, isn't there? Thither and yon. And there came thither certain Jews from Antioch and Iconium who persuaded the people and having stoned Paul, drew him out of the city, supposing that he had been dead. Howbeit, as the disciples stood round about him, he rose up and came into the city, and the next day he departed with Barnabas to Derbe. Wow. Now, a few things. Number one, when they stoned you back then, it was no laughing matter. In fact, they didn't know Paul was still alive. They dragged him out because that was their custom. If you stoned somebody, you dragged them out to the city where the cemetery was, they just threw you into a pit. They dragged him out there thinking he was dead. If they knew he had still alive, they would have kept stoning him. So they drew him out there. But guess what happened? And this is very powerful. They dragged him out, but the Spirit of God in the disciples, the quickening Spirit in the disciples, made a circle around him. And that Spirit in the disciples raised him up. Paul didn't do it. He was unconscious. That tells me how powerful when we were together in unity. And, you know, Paul said, you know what? Thank you for sending Titus, who refreshed us. Thank you for sending Timothy, who refreshed us. You see, I don't think we totally grasp, and I'm still learning this, that we carry with us that quickening power. Have you ever been with somebody that is in the Spirit and they love God and you feel it? 5 minutes with them and you come out feeling differently. Because I don't think we realize the quickening power. And when God can get a people that are willing to help others who've been stoned, and let's just be honest, there's no one in here you're going to get through life without some stones. What do we do? Oh, you shouldn't have got stoned. You should have done. No. We're going to surround you. Because when it's our turn, baby, I want you surrounding me. Amen. We have that same Spirit in us. They stood around him. Paul's bleeding. Probably had trauma. Broken ribs. I mean, I can't imagine it. So much they stoned him, they just dragged him. Totally unconscious like he was dead. But you know what? God has the last say about your life. God has the last say about the last when you're going to live. and die, not the devil and not persecutors. Amen. Not people that hate you. God has the last say. But I want to show you the importance of unity and of the church and us being together, because if disciples had not come, he probably would have died, bled to death. You might say, well, didn't he still have to go to Rome? Yes, he did. But we cannot say that we are, I've got the Spirit of God, so I don't need anybody. That's not true. You know, heaviness in the heart of man makes him stoop, but a kind word sets him free. I don't totally grasp everything this is, but I do know this: in this hour, God wants us to quicken one another. Not with flattery, but with the Spirit of God. And sometimes you don't even have to quote Scripture. Just people sense the love of God shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Spirit, the Spirit of the resurrected Christ. They sense that. You know, if Jesus was to appear right here, all you would need is 1 minute just right next to him. Your whole life would change. There'd be no problems anymore. Because he releases that love that answers all things, heals all things, causes us to believe all things. So Paul got up, and if you read the rest of it, he was quickened so much, he went back into the city and started preaching again. I don't know about if that happened to me. I said, okay, Lord, I'm going to take a couple months off. Go on a little sabbatical. Maybe a Disney cruise or something. No cruises now. Hallelujah. For a couple years or decades, whenever. I don't know if I'll ever. Don't ever forget the power that you and I have, if we're filled with the Spirit of God, to help quicken another life. And isn't that why we're here? To help others, quicken them, give them hope. Give them peace. If that same Spirit that raised Christ from the dead dwells in you, he's going to quicken you. And when you're feeling your worst, say, Lord, let your Spirit quicken me. I'm not done with my race. You haven't told me, like you said, Peter, I know I must put off this tabernacle, Peter said. He said, my time's at hand, Paul said. They knew it. But until God quickens that to you, you've got the resurrection power in you. And it's more than just for speaking in tongues. It's more than just walking in the anointing and releasing the anointing. It's a quickening power, because he knows, he's touched by the feelings of our infirmities. He remembereth we're but dust, our body. He knows our weaknesses. He knows our frame. We let the Spirit of God quicken us. Quicken us. Individually and collectively, we will see great things in this house. Great things in your life. Remember, you've got that same Spirit. I'm not just waiting for my body to be resurrected. I'm waiting for another quickening so that I find somebody and circle around them and help them back up, back into the race, back into their place, and see them finish the will of God. Amen. Would you give God a praise and stand up tonight? Praise the Lord. Let's just hold our hands up. Heavenly Father, tonight we pray for that quickening. Lord, help us to be quickened in the middle of the night, during the day, in situations that are not pleasant, disappointments, things we don't understand. Just help us, Holy Spirit, to quicken us. When our body says you have an illness or disease, quicken us. When your body says you're going to go through a hard time, quicken us, Lord. Lord, we don't want to live substandard Christian lives. That same Spirit that raised Christ from the dead, it does dwell, it cohabitates, it lives, it abides in us. And he's quickening us. He's making alive things that are dead. He's getting rid of the stones and the weeds and causing a fruitful garden in our lives for God. And may we as the Rock Church of Petersburg be like the disciples that went around Paul, not judging him, not complaining, just say, Paul, we love you. We're just praying. I believe they probably prayed prayers. It doesn't record it, but I know they released the quickening in their prayers. I know they did. They prayed. I believe the presence of God through them because they were filled. The quickening raised him up, and he went back and started preaching with dried blood and broken ribs. What a quickening, not a little quickening, not a little aspirin. It was the power of God could only do that. Help us, Lord, to be quickened, and help each one of us find our place in that circle. In Jesus' name, amen. God bless you. Give God a